Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John 3, verse 8. The Gospel, as it was written by the Apostle John, the third chapter, reading the 8th verse. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. John 3 and 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Father, we pray that you will take the remaining moments of this service and give us insight, encouragement, new light. May it be said that this service this morning made a supreme difference in our lives. It can, if we'll let it. May we do so now. In thy name we pray. Amen. No matter what I might have tried to preach about this morning, there's only one sermon really that I can preach. I believe with all my heart it's a message from God to us. It could rightly be called a living message because the perpetrator of the message is here with us, and it isn't the pastor. For the force of the message is brought to us by the Holy Spirit himself. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word this morning that he is here, and he's here to bring Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, to the center of our attention. He's here to direct our hearts and minds to the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And he's here to announce again on this Sunday morning that Jesus is Lord. Oh, in fact, he wants to announce more than that. He wants to announce that Jesus isn't only Lord, but he's Lord of all. He wants to proclaim to you that life really isn't hopeless this morning, no matter how hopeless you may feel in this moment. He's here to announce in certain tones that death is no conqueror after all. And he's here to speak assurance to us that he's more than adequate for our lives regardless of the testings that come our way. Well, you say, Pastor, these credentials are overwhelming. Does such a person really exist? Well, I'll tell you this. He not only exists, but he is the dominant note of every service where the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up. For it is he who creates the air of expectancy and enthusiasm that we feel when we come to the house of God. Someone may say, well, when I go to the house of the Lord, I don't really feel so much. What are you talking about? Well, if you are not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit when you gather together in the house of God to worship Jesus, then I would say your life is not in tune with him. You're on the wrong wavelength. You've tuned into the wrong channel. And I would ask that you pray as I preach this morning that God will make himself felt in your life by the presence of his Holy Spirit, even in this very hour together. Oh, you could say, Pastor, you seem kind of excited and enthused about the one you call the Holy Spirit. How do you account for such enthusiasm over a person you can't even see? Well, though it's true, I have not seen the Spirit in person. I have felt his movement, and I know that he is real. We have three children at our house, and I was pretty excited about all three of them. Truth is, since they're not here, I can tell you I'm still pretty excited about them. We were excited when we knew they were coming. And the truth is, we knew they were alive even before they came. We couldn't see them, but we could feel their movement, their life force. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. We can't see Him, but we know He's here because we feel His movement. His life force is evident to all who will honestly and sincerely seek to know Him. And I think we would all admit that we've had a special touch from Him in recent days. Last Sunday morning, His sweet Spirit made a great impact on our service. He came. There was the movement of the Holy Spirit. It was very real, and we could feel His presence unmistakably in our midst. And all of this now brings me to a most urgent question. And the question is simply this: have you felt the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life? The Bible says it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make your religion real. Is it real to you this morning? Do you have the active presence of God in your life? Have you been made alive unto God and dead unto sin? Have you received the Holy Spirit in your life? Is His presence felt there now? Has He quickened you? Would you like to learn more of the Holy Spirit this morning? Then listen again to our text. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus was with Nicodemus, that religious leader of the Jews. It was night. I wouldn't be surprised, but what the wind was blowing silky clouds across the face of the moon as they sat and talked together. And the wind just could have been rustling the branches in the olive trees nearby. And in this setting, Jesus was announcing the world's greatest news to this Jewish religion. He was telling them about the possibility of a new start in life, a clean page, a new beginning, a new life, a spiritual birth. And Nicodemus was confused. He heard what was being said, but it just seemed too good to be true. He couldn't understand it. He said, "How can a man who is old be born again?" But Jesus made it clear He wasn't talking about physical rebirth, but spiritual birth. Not something you can do for yourself, but something God does for you if you let Him. It's the work of the Spirit, Nicodemus. "Oh, how can this be?" Jesus said, "Listen to the wind. You can hear it, you can feel it, but you can't see it. Where it comes from and where it goes, no one really knows." So it is with the Spirit of God, invisible yet present and full of power, able to do wonderful things for you if you spread your spiritual wings and let the force of the wind speed you powerfully through the challenges of life. Let the wind of the Spirit blow upon your soul with the breath of God. Let's look for a while this morning at this text and see what Jesus is trying to say to us. I like what James Stewart has to say about this particular verse of Scripture. This first phrase, "the wind bloweth," he says, "to him," is symbolic of the ceaseless action of the Spirit. And just as the wind is always blowing someplace, so there's never been a moment when the Holy Spirit has not been actively at work in history. The psalmist said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? I can ascend to heaven, and he's there. I can make my bed in the place of the dead, and he's there. I can take the wings of the morning or hide in midnight, but he is there." God never lets go. And I'm glad that he doesn't. Even when we do not properly care about ourselves, even when we refuse to work for ourselves, the Spirit of God ceaselessly strives and works for us. For a time, the work of the Spirit focused in the life and work of Jesus, God's Son. And then after Pentecost, the life force of Jesus was released into the lives of all who would live by his life of purity and power. And we talked last Sunday evening about the Pentecost event and how there was the explosion of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciples in a second definite work of grace, and how this divine activity resulted in purity and power in the lives of these disciples. So today the Spirit acts upon our lives that we too might live the life of Christ. Oh, listen to the wind, Nicodemus. It blows yet today and in all the tomorrows. God is at work. The wind bloweth where it listeth. There's not only the ceaseless action of the Spirit, but the second phrase, where it listeth, indicates the absolute freedom of the Spirit. The Spirit is free and unencumbered. Just as you can't control the wind, you can't control the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever tried controlling a tornado? No, can't be done. Neither can you control the Holy Spirit. He's no respecter of denominations. He freely moves to those people, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, that truly seek the Spirit's presence and do not try to dictate or encumber him. He's free to move where he will. Pastor told me that he had a young man in his church who had just received his PhD. That young man had promised God that when he got the degree, he'd really go to work for him. He got the degree. He called his pastor. He said, I have my degree. I'm president of my Sunday school class. I want to get going, for I feel the tide of the Spirit is in. Did he have to get his doctorate to feel that the tide of the Spirit is in? No. For we could go to places this morning in our world where the people are illiterate and perhaps ignorant of formal education. But they too have been aware of the fact that the tide of the Spirit is in. Why so? Whether it's the most enlightened or illiterate, the Holy Spirit is free to move wherever men will openly seek his presence, his power, his purity. He scoffs at those who would stand in his way. He just kind of blows them aside. I am encouraged to remember that clever men put Christ in a tomb, put a big rock in front of it, and said, well, so much for that troublemaker. But the Spirit of God said, not so. And he blew the stone away. What kind of a stone do you have impeding your progress this morning? The Spirit is a free, moving Spirit. He is not constricted by circumstances. Whatever yours may be, they serve as no impediment to his power. Why don't you ask him, even in this service, with his great power, to blow a hole through the circumstances that are impeding your progress and let you come on through with the glory of God upon your soul? He blew the stone away. Christ arose. And the power of the Holy Spirit continued to blow with freedom across the land. Are you in the jet stream of the Spirit this morning? If you're not, you can be. First of all, you have to let Jesus forgive you. You have to let him forgive you for your sins. And then you have to let the Holy Spirit fill you and purify you. And then you too can be in the stream of the free-moving Spirit of God. Yes, the wind bloweth, it blows where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof. That's the evidence of the Spirit. When the wind blows, you can feel it. There's evidence. The load that seemed so heavy you couldn't possibly bear it, and you prayed until the wind of the Spirit started to blow, and you prayed through until the Spirit lifted the load. And last Sunday there were those who prayed for conversion at these altars, and it was done. God forgave them. There were those who prayed to be sanctified holy, and it was done. This is the evidence of the Spirit. There was obvious evidence of the Spirit's power to change lives in an instant, and He can change your life too. Let the Holy Spirit apply the cleansing blood of Jesus to your heart and wash your sins away. And let Him fill you with His powerful and pure presence. Then you too will give forth evidence of the Spirit's work. But Jesus said something else about the Spirit. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And Jesus speaks here of the origin of the Spirit. There's some wind blowing outside today. Not very much. If we could be quiet enough, we could just barely hear it moving through our steeple. I don't know where it's come from. There's no way to know what ground that wind has covered on its way here. It's kind of a mystery. The children at our nearby school this fall got balloons, filled them with helium, put postcards inside saying where they were from, and asked the finder to sign it where he found it and send it back. And they received postcards back from various places in the country where the wind took those balloons. The wind of the Spirit is kind of that way. We do not know from where it comes. We only know that it has blown through the endless corridors of eternity. And I guess we do not need to know more than that. It's supernatural. It's one of God's sweetest mysteries. One has said, Jesus said to Nicodemus what He says to us, stop explaining and worship. Stop arguing and adore. What you need to do is not tell where the wind comes from. That you'll never know. What you need to do is get your sails up to it now that it's here. Not elaborately to expound its mysterious dynamics, but gladly to yield to its living power. This is the one thing that matters. But finally, said Jesus, you not only can't tell where it came from, but neither can you tell where it's going. This is the destiny of the Spirit. You can't tell where He's liable to carry you. Nicodemus was carried by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit carried the disciples to spiritual conquest and to a martyr's grave. And I wouldn't be surprised if it wouldn't be a good idea before we seek the Spirit to consider carefully. For we have no idea where He's going to carry us. That brilliant and promising medical student just might end up pouring out his life on an isolated mission field. That beautiful and clever girl may pour out the richness of her life helping and teaching the poor. That exciting and unusual young man with all kinds of ability may perish as a martyr in the flower of his life. But Jesus says to all of this, let the wind of My Spirit blow you where He will. For remember, he who saves his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for My sake shall find it. Be careful when you pray. You don't know where the Spirit might take you. I told you several weeks ago about one of our fine families. Couldn't mention any names then. But you may remember I talked about the fellow who was thanking God that he had everything he wanted. He walked out into his backyard and was thanking the Lord for his goodness. Said, Lord, I have everything I want. And the wind of the Spirit began to blow. And the Lord came to him and said, yes, but what about what I want? What about what I want? He said, Lord, what do you want? He said, I want you to be my missionary. Would you do that for me? He said, yes, Lord, I will if that's what you want, but you know that I'm beyond the age limitation and I've not had the kind of background that you would ordinarily think necessary to become a missionary. But the wind of the Spirit blew on and said, yes, I know. I know all about that. But I have missionaries who have been praying for someone to come and do the kind of work you can do. And apparently God thought they'd been praying long enough. He wanted to supply their needs. So he said, yes, I'll do what I can. So he came to see his pastor and shared with me the beautiful story. And my heart was touched and moved, and I knew all of the attendant complications. But I said, I think what we better do is make contact with our Department of World Missions and see what they have to say. So I called them because I knew they were spiritually sensitive men. And I shared with them the story. They said, well, let's talk to them. And so it was arranged, and they did. And after talking with them, their hearts were touched as well. And all of the preliminary steps were achieved. And I'm so proud to be able to report to you this morning that next July, Bob and Bessie Black will be going near Albuquerque, New Mexico, to become associate missionaries in our American Indian work. Isn't that thrilling? Isn't that exciting to think that we never know when we pray and ask for God to take complete control of our lives where the wind of the Spirit will carry us? This is the destiny of the Spirit. We just have no way of knowing what he may make of us. And as a result of that kind of living all the drabness, all the boredom simply vanishes from life when we're caught up in this most noble of all missions. All that we have talked about this morning, the Spirit propels us into in this life. But there's more. For the word says, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. No, we know not where the Spirit of God will carry us in this life. But we do know our ultimate and eternal destiny, for it is
with Christ. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Listen to the wind, Nicodemus, and may all of us feel the wind of the Spirit breathing through our lives on this Sunday morning.